family and friends, we're gathered here at the cemetery to have a graveside service for dearly beloved daughter, wife, mother, grandmother, and dear friend. And I want to convey our sympathy to you, Franz, for the loss of your dear wife, Mrs. Van Eerden, of your daughter, and also Brent and Erica and Lauren and George, on your dear mother. And at this time at graveside, then I think of all that has been said already at the church by your pastor, Pastor Moerdijk, and by a dear father, George Fader. And I really don't have a lot of words to add. And I'm reminded that men's words are but words. And they too will fade away. And we're reminded that in 1 Peter 1, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. With that, I believe it is fitting that we would begin with the Lord's Prayer. And I will lead it, but whoever would like to join in may certainly do so. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I remember the last time I was just leaving, and I thought to myself, I'm going to ask Stina what to read. This was a week ago Monday. It was shortly before she passed on. And she said she wanted to read Psalm 65, and she said it without any hesitation. So I would like to just read in our hearing Psalm 65, verses 1 through 4. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquity. Against me, and for our transgressions thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. When I thought of those verses, then I mentioned even what a message to the living. What a message to the living, that we can praise the Lord today, that in this day, that we remember that God is a hearer of prayer, and that God is also the one who forgives iniquities and sins, and He purges them all away, and He grants that blessed communion. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. He will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. And so we have great reason to praise the Lord even today. At this time I'd like to confess our undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. And again, we can all say that in unison together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And when we think of what we have just confessed in our faith, that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And I know some of this was spoken already in the church, but as we consider that, especially from 1 Corinthians 15, then I would like to read a couple passages at this time, especially considering 1 Corinthians 15 and the basis as Paul begins to speak to the Corinthians. He begins with the basis, the ground for our preaching, our faith. And it is in the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how he says that in verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. So if Christ be not risen, then what we all said today is vain. Our faith would be vain. But he goes on in verse 16 to say, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have the hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are afterward they that are Christ at His coming. And then, so we see that the resurrection of Christ is our basis and our hope. But also, if someone would say, then, well, how shall this all come about? And how should I know these things? And this could have been possibly happening in Corinth, and it could be happening even among us today. That one would say, well, how do I know that the dead will rise? And how do I know that we just don't perish and go into the earth like the animals? Well, Paul addresses that and the dualism that many of the Corinthians may have had. And he addresses that in verse 35 in a way of kind of a parable. And he says, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool! That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that the body shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. And so he's using this parable that all seeds would go into the ground, and you wouldn't expect that seed to come back out of the ground, but you would expect a plant, something that was new and fresh and in a different way. And he brings out a great contrast there in the various bodies that the Lord has given in the flesh, Our flesh contrasted with the flesh of others. Our flesh even contrasted with the celestial beings and of the glory of His creation. But He goes on in that contrast in verse 42 to show that this new body, this old body, the body of corruption, will put on the new body of incorruption. The one that's sown in dishonor will be raised again in glory. The one that is sown in weakness will be raised again in power. And the sown, that which is sown natural, our natural flesh, will be raised a spiritual body. That which is mortal, in other words, says Paul, will put on immortality. And that's, of course, a great mystery, and Paul confesses that as he goes on in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends and family, and friends, we can comfort one another with these words. We certainly can. Because that's what Paul also writes to the Thessalonians in Thessalonians 4. Where we read, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. We certainly have hope from the testimony that our dear sister Stina led for each one of us. And however, as we comfort one another with that hope that she has, then we need to know that that hope is for us. And that I, because Paul goes on, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, notice the centrality of His death and His resurrection again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The word of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord has comfort. The word of the Lord, and in this word comfort, also means exhortation for each one of us to recognize that we too will be here one day. Not in the living, but in the coffin. Dust to dust the mortal dies, both the foolish and the wise. Let us comfort one another with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we too one day will be raised with Him in glory. I'd like to just conclude this part of the meditation with a word of prayer to that end. Lord, we stand amazed at the grace that Thou hast shown us, that thou hast given thy only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in thee, O Lord Jesus, would not perish, but have everlasting life. O Lord, we have been shown that way of salvation today through thy word. O Lord, be pleased to bless it by thy Holy Spirit, that thou would apply it to the hearts and the lives of the dear family, of the friends gathered here in this hour. That as we witness what happens at the end of a life, that we would not walk away from a grave thinking that is the end, but rather it is the beginning. The beginning of an eternity with thee, O Lord, for our sister Stina, but also what would it be for me, and what would it be for each one gathered here if we were to die? O Lord, help us to answer that question by fleeing to the blood of Christ, that we would take cover under that blood, that we would have our sins purged away, and that we would have that blessed communion with thee forever. O Lord, go with us in this hour. Lord, be with the mourning family. Even though they mourn as those without, do not mourn as those without hope, yet death is real. Death is separation. Death is unnatural. And Lord, then we see that that last enemy, although it was swallowed up in victory, it is still real, and it is still painful. So Lord, as we watch even the body descend into the grave in a few moments, that thou would strengthen the family, strengthen thoughts. We pray, Lord, that thou would be his rock. Lord, thou knowest his wife has been such a help to him in the past. Oh Lord, then we pray that thou would grant thy spirit and thy grace, that he may lean on thee, that he may lean hard. Be with the dear mother too, who is grieving. Lord, it is so unnatural for a mother to lose a daughter. But yet, Lord, we know that all things are perfect in thy will. And we pray, Lord, that thou would strengthen her each and every day. Be with each one of the children, Lord. Be with them in a mighty way, that thou would be their stronghold and their comfort in this very time. And so, Lord, be with each one here as we have heard the gospel and we have seen the witness, Lord, of the certainty of death and the need for a Savior. O Lord, bless us. Bless us that we may flee unto thee. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake and glory alone. Amen. This time we would like to sing a couple songs around the grave site here. The first one being Psalter 31. You can find it on the back of the program. And I believe I selected stanza 1. Okay, so 1, 3, 6, and 7. And we'll ask Pastor Mordyke maybe to get us on the right note. Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my lair from lips and sear. Send thy approval from on high, my righteousness make clear. Thou in the night my heart has tried, nor found it turned from thee aside. Oh, how that ever savest those whose trust on thee is stayed, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid. Let me thy loving
from the man of pride, whose portion is below, who with like treasures satisfied, no better portion know.
Sing the doxology, and then the funeral directors will take over from there.
Praise God. Thank you.